This is Mae Brussel on a program called World Watchers. It's part two of that broadcast, number 694, in case you just picked it up in the middle or at some other point. And this is the date of this broadcast is March 26, 1985. I want to continue with this particular article and then, as I say, detail these names that they're a little more clear than when I rushed through them before, because the article is titled Private Groups, and I keep wanting to stress that point. Now, if they're sending medical care and food to people who've been ravaged by war, who really need this, the innocent victims in the villages, and this isn't the history of these men, the past history at all, then the use of Mr. McCall of Military Affairs, the editor of Soldier of Fortune, giving technical assistance in El Salvador has more to do with shooting and training Army people for activity than it does for how a course or an institute on how to distribute food and medical care. Now, John Singh Laub, close to the Defense Department, has these two organizations, the Institute for Regional and International Studies in Colorado that I mentioned, run by Soldier of Fortune, which is in effect his offshoot or his baby, the magazine, with Mr. McCall in charge. And he's head of the U.S. Council for World Freedom. Singh Laub said his U.S. Council for World Freedom has received substantial coordinating help from the Pentagon, and his group works with others groups, including Mr. Adderholtz, the Air Commando Association, retired military, who is retired from the Pentagon, and also part of the Central Intelligence Agency. So, and he says they have distributed more than $6 million to the Contra families. Now, how do you separate these organizations, and what is all the fuss of the journalists calling this private groups? The far right says that the Washington Post is so liberal that they should really be done away with. I don't think the Reverend Moon's paper does a better job. They cover this up with the title, the adjective private groups, when it isn't that at all, and with a little work they could find it out. In fact, Mr. Adderholt was complaining, the head of the Air Commando Association, General H.C. Adderholt, he was complaining about the liberals in Congress. He says the liberals in Congress try to tie his organization, the Air Commando Association, and the World Medical Relief to some sinister plan of the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, he has been directly linked to the Central Intelligence Agency, and those details I'll go into later. But if the United States does not have reason to go into these areas and shoot people up like we did in Southeast Asia, and if we don't have the inclination to continue it because it hasn't achieved anything for our country in the dictatorships that we've put in, we became the losers in Nicaragua and in Iran, and in Chile is on the brink of a revolution, and we haven't tried any other way. There's nothing in our minds as alternatives. And when the members of Congress want a balance, and certainly Congress isn't a leftist Congress by any imagination, if they don't like the Congress, and Singh Laub and the World Anti-Communist League and General H.C. Adderholt out of Miami and a lot of other high generals and admirals, but these are the key ones that I'm stressing because they're national, international relationships. Again, they can do what they like on their own. And their background came from Reinhard Gehlen. Now, I was talking about Gehlen for the past 10, 11 years. I've been on the air 14 years. And identified him in my first published article in 1972. The meaning of what Gehlen did to our country wasn't recognizable then. It seemed that things were going all right, and even though we put in military dictatorships, there weren't so many, and people weren't adding them up, and there were no groups of human rights seeing what was happening to the torture victims. But I think in 1985, you can begin to recognize the damage that Gehlen instructed or did to us when he came to this country in 1945. So Singh Laub is bragging about his private work being mixed with the Defense Department and his two organizations being mixed with the Defense Department. Now, Jeremiah Denton is very much supporting, he has very much supported these groups. He talks about international terrorism, but he funds these Nazi terrorists and doesn't blush a bit about it. And he had an amendment put in through Congress in fiscal 1985, a defense bill named for Senator Jeremiah Denton of Alabama that authorizes the Pentagon to use ships and airplanes, space-available bases, to put the food and medicine to regions. He says no weapons or military equipment may be sent. How would we know? But the fact is that Jeremiah Denton is very much a part of this group and their operations, a member of Congress, and he knows that Congress is questioning what is happening with El Salvador and the death squads and in South America, but he supports terrorism from the right and always cries about terrorism on the left. Now, when John Singlau met with the Defense Department in May of 84, his purpose was to study the wars in Central America and offer his advice to this part of military history. Well, what advice would he have? His Southeast Asia group brought, and he worked with the Phoenix operation, was just a part of it, his special operations group. What makes John Singlau, in 1985, an expert on how to handle various countries and the dictatorships that we put into, and what has happened to the people, and what makes him think that Central America can become anything with the kind of conflicts, the decisions we make about who should rule those people that we have done since World War II with the overthrow of Guatemala, and our interference has been continuous ever since then. Nation magazine had an article by Peter Stone, and he reported a meeting at the request of Fred Ickley, I-C-K-L-E, you know the man, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, and he had John Singlau there, plus veterans of guerrilla warfare from the Philippines and Korea and South Vietnam, and the retired generals Edward Lansdale. And I mentioned these on the air, as I say, a few weeks ago or a month ago, but I wanted to bring them up again, and General H.C. Adderholt, because Lansdale was in part of that counterinsurgency operation. And these men, John Singlau, Edward G. Lansdale, and General A.C. Anderholt, A-N-D-E-R-H-O-L-T, had such a big part in the mass murders, the clearing of villages, the torture, the continuous harassment of villages and women and children in Vietnam, not separating them from any enemy. The cruelty of Vietnam was in their hands. And they were invited with an 8-member panel to the Defense Department and issued a classified report to move from conventional warfare, which is what has been going on in El Salvador, one shooting and the other shooting back, to apply increased emphasis on psychological warfare, which includes civic action against people in the communities and killing people who have no role in the warfare, who aren't liberals or leftists, but for general terror to make the people afraid in general. The psychological warfare requires small unit operations to break up and burn villages, coffee plantations, which they're doing, and trying to stop the means of support for the people, cutting off gasoline supplies and bringing in the necessary supplies to live. Mr. Adderholt's organization, the Air Commando Association, is 1,500 members. John Singlau and the panel criticized the Pentagon for thinking in conventional warfare terms that will not work in El Salvador, that they want to go into Central America and do what they did there, but that didn't work. They're saying, oh, you have to let us, the experts, Anderholt and Lansdale and Singlau, tell you what to do, with Henry Kissinger as the big advisor over them. And they're directing the Pentagon on something that they couldn't succeed in doing in Southeast Asia and getting the money and the funds to continue the massacre in Central America. Well, that meeting, as I say, was in December in the Defense Department, just months after the World Anti-Communist League, when Singlau became president of the organization. And shortly after that, in February, the Washington Post, not the New York Times, had the article that I briefly mentioned again too quickly, $14 million in medical aid funneled to Central America. I mentioned it briefly again. This was on broadcast number 689, February the 18th, 1985. But again, I ran out of time and didn't give enough time to that article as it builds up to some of these other stories because of the links to the Vatican. We have John Singlau in the other story linked to the World Anti-Communist League in last week's program, linked to that, and also now his links to the Pentagon and the Central Intelligence Agency. And then the next element that supports and contributes to these private armies that are literally making the decisions away from the hands of Congress are the members of the Knights of Malta, the Vatican. It was formed to defend the Vatican, the Roman Empire, in the year 1000, and members of the intelligence community, the Defense Department, major spies from Reinhard Galen, who was knighted, and James Angleton, William Buckley, James Buckley, William Casey, William Donovan. I've gone over many times the importance of the Knights of Malta, Frank Shakespeare from the U.S. Information Agency, and so forth. Decision-making people in the intelligence community associated and knighted by the Vatican, and working also with John Singh Laup and the World Anti-Communist League and those people. And they are doing their contribution that they call charity. Just briefly to refresh your memory on the article and run through it quickly, this $14 million in medical aid funneled to Central America, called medical aid, and then it turns out it isn't necessarily, of course, medical aid at all. The foundation is called the AmeriCares Foundation, founded by Robert McCauley. They raised $10 million for El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala in the last 2 years. But again, it cites that it is distributed through the armed forces. This is the Vatican organization, the Knights of Malta, using the armed forces. The other is private groups helping the Contras using the armed forces. The AmeriCares is the largest of a dozen relief programs in Central America. And under Ronald Reagan, he is trying, this is a quote, to encourage private involvement in foreign and worldwide affairs, partly to bypass bureaucratic tangles with the receiving nations and to avoid the strings that Congress ties to federal programs. The reason I'm going back to this article is I didn't have time to give these quotations that I felt you should have, because, again, Singh Laup is saying Congress is tying my hands. Adderholt is saying Congress is tying our hands. The President of the United States says, I want to avoid the strings that Congress ties to federal programs, the strings, so that decapitations and the torturing and the taking of property and the real cruel things that are going on, very cruel, around the world and in Central and South America, he wants you to stay out of it, to butt out of it. And I will invite these people and encourage them. The president will have his press conference and say it's perfectly natural for you to do it, invite you to the Pentagon and give you what you want. So the president encourages them, and this is called private charity, that these corporations and individuals, in this case the Vatican, can do the work. But the Vatican is closely linked to the Central Intelligence Agency, and we now have an ambassador there, Mr. Wilson, who goes back and forth from the United States to the Vatican, but it is documented over and over again, the links to the intelligence community. So the CIA can send the Vatican $1 million, and they can give it to the Knights of Malta, and it's not private at all. Again, it comes from our taxpayers' money and looks like it's from the heart of the religious Catholics. The article says 10% of the fundings for this particular operation, along with the Knights of Malta, comes from the Christian Broadcasting Network. So, again, he's funding the men working with the Defense Department and the people with the Knights of Malta overlapping. And it says J. Peter Grace, this is the part where they bring in Grace, is a friend of Pat Robertson. Some people mention Christian Broadcasting and not J. Peter Grace. They were roommates at Yale. And the Knights of Malta have been doing this, according to the Washington Post, for 900 years. Well, the this isn't necessarily charity. The this is representing the Roman Empire. It goes on, delivery of shipments are controlled by the Knights of Malta. They take care of that, and so the orders the Knight of Malta make sure who gets it. So I'm sure you have to be a good Christian or a good Catholic to get what humanitarian medicine is delivered. What the Washington Post goes on to say, while denying that this was a CIA operation, Mr. H.C. Adderholt met at the Defense Department in February of 85 in order to move away from conventional warfare, which I quoted to you as he wants to go in there with weapons, and he works with these people. He's asking for counterinsurgency warfare, and yet he works and admits he works with members of the Knights of Malta. So how can it be a religious humanitarian investment of $14 million plus when bypassing the people in Washington when he works with them and mingles these agencies and says that the purposes are counterinsurgency warfare and increased civic action. The word civic action means bringing in hospitals and relief, but that's also part of the counterintelligence operations. The night of, now this article in the Washington Post in February of this year said, heading the Knights of Malta in El Salvador are two men, Gerald Coughlin, C-O-U-G-H-L-A-N, a retired FBI agent, retired, like James McCord or E. Howard Hunt, I wonder again, the executive international harvester, and Miguel Salavera, Varia, a coffee importer who has property in El Salvador. And it's in the warehouses of Mr. Coughlin of International Harvester that they house the medical supplies. The military-industrial complex has to do with industrial people, too, and the American multinational corporations, and they use Coughlin's headquarters that is also used by the Central Intelligence Group, the pro-government CIA of El Salvador, the military dictatorship group, headed by H.C. Adderholt, the retired general of the Air Commando Associations, and that's the one I referred to in the past article, said he uses the Knights of Malta warehouse, and they also get support from the Salvadorian Air Force commander. So income, I don't want to go too fast, and I want to make this clear, income these other elements of the Central Intelligence Agency and Mr. Adderholt, using the warehouse of the Knights of Malta, the International Harvester warehouse from the executive there, and keeping material also from the Salvadorian Air Commander. So how do you separate all this from the Salvadorian Army and the death squads and the dictatorship that continues the reign of terror for a handful of families down in El Salvador? Mr. Adderholt has sent to El Salvador $4.5 million, and he says it's medical relief and so forth, and again, in this article, complains about the liberals in Congress and what they're doing. J. Peter Grace, the head of W.R. Grace, chairman of the American Division of Knights of Malta, is the active member of the AmeriCares Foundation, run by Robert McCauley, as I said. The attorney Prescott Bush Jr., whose name I mentioned a while back on the broadcast about this, the brother of the Vice President of the United States, the former CIA director, George Bush, his brother is active with William Simon, the former Secretary of the Treasury. He recently resigned from Haleonetics, but that was because of scandals and the formation and profits that's under investigation in Los Angeles for legal matters that I want to go into with you, but William Simon is active with J. Peter Grace. He's a Knight of Malta and the brother of the Vice President and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, with that much weight, Brzezinski being a national advisor on the board of AmeriCares, how can you separate the Defense Department, the CIA, from the religious organization when Grace and Bush and Simon and Brzezinski head the group and then work with people whose warehouses are shared by Mr. Adderholt with his relationships to the CIA and working with the El Salvadorian military junta? Another fellow who's active with the Knights of Malta down there, I mentioned him before, was Robert Alejos, the head of the Knights of Malta in Honduras, who had the CIA use his coffee plantation in Nicaragua for a training group from the Central Intelligence Agency at the time of the Bay of Pigs. And the medical companies I mentioned that give the supplies, I won't repeat that again, are G.D. Searle, Sterling Drug, Merck & Company, and Richardson from Westport, Connecticut. And there are about 40 or 50 medical companies that help supply down there, but those are the four major ones. So when you have the very top people in government, like the former National Security Advisor, Brzezinski, and the brother of the Vice President, and a man with the power of J. Peter Grace, and he represents the American group of the Knights of Malta, very influential in Germany and in Italy, in Rome, and in the United States, and a cabinet position, or like a cabinet position for Ronald Reagan, deciding where our domestic budgets go when, after the military has spent their money and the space stations and the space warfare allocations are made, then W.R. Grace and Company has J. Peter Grace to tell us how we should divide up what's left for the United States citizens to use, and he's funding these millions of dollars down there that are mingled with the dictatorships and with the cover of being humanitarian, but there isn't very much humanitarian going down in El Salvador or in Nicaragua. Now, I want to bring one more element into this that I mentioned briefly before at the meeting of the World Anti-Communist League and how it was formed, and that's Reverend Moon and the Moon Organization that surfaced in 1966, setting up that international organization of countries that are anti-communist but not anti-fascist. Jack Anderson, an article February 21st, 1985, Cash Flows to the Rebels, and this tells about the anti-Sandinista guerrillas in Nicaragua are getting along just fine without Congress. If Congress cuts off the money, Reagan has the privatization of the administration for covert war, which is no longer covert. You can see the articles. I'm just citing a few of them. And when the cutoff came, the money didn't stop. And Jack Anderson said several private groups stepped up into the activity with money and supplies that included the Unification Church, Reverend Moon's church, Soldier of Fortune magazine, and the Louisiana-based Friends of the Americas Foundation. Now, that's a new one for some of you, the Friends of the Americas Foundation, and I'll go into that. But if the money is cut off and it's being sent or help, the help is coming from Soldier of Fortune magazine, how do you separate that from Mr. Sinlaub, General John Sinlaub, when he set up Soldier of Fortune and is invited to the Pentagon and plans strategy with General Lansdale and General Adderholt? You can't separate them, you just give them different names. Or Reverend Moon sets up the World Anti-Communist League, and John Sinlaub is the president of the World Communist League, and repeat again, on purpose, John Sinlaub is in the Pentagon with the men who did the counterinsurgency and the Phoenix operations in Southeast Asia. So Moon comes in as another level, the highest level being Adderholt and Sinlaub and Lansdale. And then below them and along with them, right side by side, is the Vatican with the Knights of Malta and our intelligence agencies from the Vatican that you can't separate, and Reverend Moon that you can't separate from Sinlaub and the Korean CIA from RCIA, and the Soldier of Fortune magazine, which is set up with the mercenaries to do the jobs. So what you have here, and I want to make it very clear on this broadcast and continue into it in the next week or the weeks to come, what you have is what I tried to explain last week and for the past few years, the takeover of the decision-making out of the legislative into the Defense Department and the intelligence agency. And this schnook of a president who's gone all the way with the Anti-Communist League and taken all the benefits and all the fringe benefits of being president, which include just laughing and smiling at every camera and waving while you go on and off every helicopter, and letting these people do just what he said he was going to do, and it's going to get worse. The point is that all of them are directly tied to the Defense Department and the Central Intelligence Agency, and there isn't any difference. Now, the mention of the Friends of the Americas Foundation is one that you might not have heard of. The humanitarian aid legislation, and this goes into the subject of that, was co-sponsored, as I mentioned before, by Senator Jeremiah Denton of Alabama and Representative Bob Livingston, representative from Louisiana. One of Livingston's constituents in Louisiana State Legislature, Lopius Woody, that's his nickname in quotes, Jenkins, was the founder and driving force behind the Friend of the Americans Foundation. He set it up as a refugee relief agency to aid the victims of communist aggression. The way you aid the victims of communist aggression is to put guns into the hands of these people and let them shoot it out, fighting and teaching them to fight. There isn't much aid going on. This group, the refugee relief people on the scene, have expressed misgivings about the new United States assistance. They are concerned that it is being used politically. How did they ever come to that conclusion? Jack Anderson writes this, I guess, with a straight face. The Agency for International Development has been in charge of a new program that started last November, and meanwhile, the private aid continues to flow to the Contras, and it comes from the Friends of the Americas contingent, which includes an assistant to Jeremiah Denton that is involved with this American Foundation. Now, they have sent down a lot of money. The taxpayers, all of us, have contributed $7.5 million for the purposes of other than food and immediate necessities. You know what that would be. So the money that they're calling help for humanitarian reasons dispensed through the military, with the military, into warehouses shared by the military for all purposes is going into the hands of the government intact in El Salvador to keep down any chance of a revolution or a change there, or to supply the Contras to make sure that they can get rid of the very people who displaced or removed Somoza because they objected to his policies and the way they had to live. John Singlaub, with the history of these various organizations, takes on another role, and now I'm going into some information that is very, very important. I'll do as much as I have time for this evening and then continue it next week, done by some other researchers that have provided me with this material. Some of the material I had, a lot I didn't have, and of course I'm appreciative for the time and work that they have put to connect these various groups that I have identified from time to time and bring in some new elements that some of you are not aware of. And some of this I'm quoting from a report that they put together, and other sections I'll paraphrase and pass on to you. What they are saying, these particular researchers, is that outside of the major media, and we know that, and outside of national and international law, there are organized and heavily armed paramilitary networks that are growing in the United States. They became aware that what was fascism, South and Central America, Europe, Southeast Asia, was growing in the United States, and I have saved 6 filing cabinets with 24 drawers of people that I believe have been victims of death squads that I've been aware of, are being wiped out for a lot of particular reasons, and the power to continue this and escalate it is getting even more scary at the present time. They said there are connections of these groups to retired, both retired and active ranking military and intelligence officers, as I point out in those articles, just current ones in the newspaper, The Washington Post. And they use recruits from Vietnam and the Korean War veterans. They can say, we lost that war, but we'll avenge the Bay of Pigs, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were not successful for the United States. And yet we use the same people, whether it's Alexander Haig or Henry Kissinger and Mr. Lansdale and the whole cast of characters that run through this era. The strength of fascism was losing World War I and learning how to rearm and almost take the world, as Adolf Hitler did, by the fact that the Germans were embarrassed and angry at the settlements of World War I and were determined again to get ready for another war. I wonder if we did not win these wars, because then we would have a motivation for these particular people who constantly bring up the fact of the wars we lost, and therefore have taken the Constitution and literally torn it to shreds, and are now working behind the biblical prophecies for another war, and using the veterans for these various organizations that come from the past 3 wars, that didn't learn anything from the past 3 wars, but are gung-ho to get into the next one. They also have recruited from their organizations, according to this particular study I'm citing, members of the Waffen-SS and the Waffen-SS worshippers. Some are trained by Hitler's Waffen-SS for global operations. They're violently racist. They're sadistic. They are, again, they refer to them as neo-Nazis, new young Nazis. And, of course, I say they include, and they know, the Waffen-SS, of course, is the old Nazis. And they're compared identical to the Freikorps, the paramilitary group that appeared in Germany after World War I, secretly preparing war against Russia to control the world eventually, to have a 1,000-year Reich under the protection of General Ludendorff and others. I'm running out of time now. I'm going to continue with the lines of these particular people who are working and growing in the United States now and the way they have centered their power since World War II. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel in Pacific Grove, California. The program is World Watchers, and I'll be back with you next week.